Yeah, there are two pages there, and I'll tell you. No problem. We have no problem.
Not you can look in with me.
Isn't it unbelievable? How do you, Natalia, how do you find your Thomas? You have to help. And now let me tell you how I would like to structure the shiur. And not as a shiur. First, like as a seminar. I want everyone to participate. And my goal, what I think, first, I will be coming every 2 weeks. My nephew come the other 2 weeks. So I'm not sure how he's going to do. But what I would like to do is really to focus on the building blocks of Machshava. And to use Parshas HaShavua as a springboard to go over the basic building blocks of what Machshava is, and to show how Machshava connects to Halacha, how Machshava connects to Jewish history, how Machshava connects to science, and how Machshava can make, I think, Jewish life more meaningful, and I think life more interesting. Okay? And the idea is to take these concepts and to show, and we can go as deep as the Olam wants, as you'll be involved. I want it to be not a shiron, to be like learning together, that we're going to explore. I brought two sources today. As we develop, I'll bring more sources, and we'll be able to focus on this stuff more. Now, I have to get to know you to see who knows what and how much do you know. But first of all, don't feel embarrassed or in any way, shape, or form uncomfortable of asking anything. Asking, arguing, or adding something. Okay? Because this will make it much more interactive. Okay? And now, please, the one thing is, if we could start just, we don't have a very small element, just each one to introduce themselves. And to just, what I'd like to do is three things. An introduction. What attracts you to the shiur? I mean, what would you be looking to get out of this? Okay? And the number three is, if you had any exposure to Machshava and what you refer to as Machshava. What does Machshevet Israel mean? Okay? So those three things. Name, what are you trying to get here? Meaning, what attracted you to come here? For sure, not my picture. And what would you know about Machshava? What do you call Machshevet Israel? What's the exposure to it, if any? If you could say, no, nothing, have nothing. It's fine also. This guy I know, so that's Moshe Smith. We know him. I think everybody knows him, so...
So my attraction is the person who's giving the shiur tonight. That's MS. I don't think there's anything wrong in saying that. And the area of philosophy, I went to Yeshiva Flatbush, so we did have a couple of years of Jewish philosophy in those years, and I've learned a little bit of philosophy over time, but not my chief area of interest. And to some degree, that's what stimulated
me. So what you call Machshava is philosophy.
Yeah.
In other words, philosophy, because it's interesting. Philosophy is one area of Machshava. Mm-hmm. And as you know, philosophy also has changed and morphed so much. And I'll tell you afterwards what Machshava that attracts me, what Machshava that interests me, and I'll tell you also why. And what I've tried to do something very interesting. If the Olam is interesting philosophy, we could connect and to show how these things can go, how philosophy and what we call Sisrei Torah, meaning what we call more, not the Kabbalistic, but more something called Remes, how they connected, and that's the chief, and I'll bring you interesting stuff. Again, what I want to do is to take this also into a historical perspective. So go not into that, and we'll go. So that's philosophy. Excellent.
Steve Marmelstein. Okay. I had no clue what this shiur was all about before I came.
Okay.
He's supposed to be a bright guy. He's supposed to be an interesting shiur. Let me figure out what
he's talking about. I hope not to...
I don't know. We'll find out if I'm right or not. We'll find out. Okay. In terms of, I went to YU, so over the years I took some philosophy courses, listened to lectures over the years. I'm very interested in Jewish history. I've read up a lot about that. But specifically... exactly what you mean is Machshava, I don't know, we'll find out.
Okay, good. So, but you're calling Machshava philosophy. Okay, we have two.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve. Excellent.
Yeah. I am Anna Klapholz. I also came because few people encouraged me to come to Shir. I personally like people who think out of the box, not necessarily, being very rigid. And the past years, I've gone from different people, I don't know if it's called Machshava, from Rabbi Wiener, to, you know, reading some of the world, reading even Levinas, but frankly, I don't understand much of it. You know, I mean, I enjoy different thoughts, but not sure I understand very much what I read, but, you know, I enjoy.
Okay, looking excellent. Forward to it. Thank you very much. You.
I was attracted because initially, because it's the only night I was available.
Okay.
A few nights. So that was
functional ideas are always good.
Practical reason, and I love to learn. I love to. I don't pin down to any type of learning. I can learn halacha. I can learn chumash. I can learn gemara. Whatever somebody presents to me, that is as far as my it always adds to me.
And now, what is exposure to Machshava, and what do you call Machshava?
I don't know that word as well as you're saying. If you say it's philosophy,
I'm not saying philosophy. I would like to ask you if you say
Machshava. I'm not sure. If, you know, from Choshev, it's deep thinking, and it's a deeper thinking than just the translation of something. And I like translations, and I like deep thinking. So you have somebody who's open to anything.
Thank you very much. Perfect.
Dov Bluth.
Dov.
I don't know if you remember, way back when.
Yes.
Okay. You're starting to give a share closer and closer to Windmere and monitoring over the years.
The migration.
And now that you've gotten close enough, and I happened to see it when I came earlier this evening, and I was looking for Parshas Shavuot here.
First of all, any exposure to Machshava, though.
So, and that, I was looking for Parshas Shavuot, figured let me try that and hear something new and different, and I'll try it.
Perfect, though. Excellent.
Thank you.
My name is Eli Hirsch. I came to share this because I know your reputation a little, and I did not know exactly, other than I thought it was Parshas related, but that wasn't necessarily the prime reason of coming. My exposure to Machshava probably hasn't been, I mean, I went to YU, so I took a couple of classes there. I probably would also put it as philosophy, but, and I might be saying the same thing, I am curious, a little bit of a chicken and an egg in terms of Machshava and Hashkafa, and how that relates your
absolute
life, and kind of which comes first, maybe, and if that's the way you're going a little bit, you know.
Oh, go. Perfect.
Joe Judenberg, didn't know what the class was about, but now that you're talking about it, look forward to the opportunity of learning. We have lots of classes about the what. I'm hoping, based on what you say, this class will be about the why. The why of halacha, the why of life, the why of us as Yidden. So I'm hoping that's what Machshava means.
Okay, that's a great point. Excellent. And?
I made that point also, but
no. No, but it's the why. I think it's the important, then, Murray. But.
I just lost my voice. My name is Dov Bronstein.
Dov?
I also had the privilege of hearing you speak many times in Lawrence. For me, I feel that many people, especially when it comes to Chumash and the stories in the Chumash, we often learn it the same way when we learned it when we were in fourth grade. And for me, Machshava is a deeper insight, and maybe you alluded to that when you're talking about, you know, the Sisrei Torah or the Pnimius of the Torah. I want to delve a little deeper to get a bit more mature, deeper understanding of all those, whatever's going on in Bereishis and Shmos.
Excellent. Perfect. And Murray, just introduce yourself to the class.
Dr. Murray Friedman, I know Ari for 20 something years.
Yeah.
Came to his shiur every single week for probably 20 years. And I was coming in from Arv and I saw your face for it. And wow, tonight I'm going in.
So he knows Machshava. Let me tell you, because I want to create a very systematic system, because I do not want to have, see, for me, the idea of having vortim, it's very nice to have vortim and ideas here and ideas there that doesn't become part of a system. For me personally, doesn't do for me. I mean, it's nice. It's for sure Torah. What I am looking for, and here hopefully is to give you an opening to a system, which is the system of the why. And I think what's the beauty about Torah is that there are many levels of Torah and how it was given to us. How it was revealed. Now, what I call Machshava, Machshava always goes into, there is a system of halacha, and there is a system. The word machshava, it's very debatable, even when Haggadah was, and that dichotomy between halacha and Haggadah, who were the ones who put that into place, and what we call. But what I call machshava, right? I think machshava, I think that your exposure has been a lot to philosophy. And philosophy is a school of the why, to create a system. But I think that as the world has evolved, and I think it's an evolvement in Jewish history, there is a school of machshava, which is the deeper sense of Torah. The deeper sense of Torah is what Chazal called once upon a time Sisrei Torah. And we, if you want, we could even go into the history and why and how it was developed, which means the ideas which are called the hidden part of Torah. Now, it was hidden for many generations, but as the tradition goes, it became revealed at the end of days. And today becomes part. And I think that the Sisrei Torah, the idea of the hidden meaning of Torah, is a system which is fascinating because it gives you a deeper sense of the why. It gives you a different, I think, respect and value to halacha, can connect many things to create a sense of unity. That you see that, I think that everything starts making sense, and I'll tell you in a second why is that important. So that gives you, because the deeper you go, you realize that at the core, it's all one. Science, history, life, halacha, stems from the same core. And at the core, there is such a thing called unity. See, the word emes, truth, right? What? How do you define truth? So you define truth, you could define, like Popper does, Karl Popper does, the truth by nature, if you want to go into philosophy, is something which is contingent. It is truth only as much as you give a falsifiability theory. You tell me, this is truth, because you could falsify it. And if you falsify it, it's not true anymore. But if you hold something is truth without giving room to falsify it, Karl Popper will say, that's not truth. That is faith, whatever. But you don't appreciate the truth. So it comes out that every truth is only contingent. But I think the truth in Yiddishkeit is something called experiential. Truth is when you see that everything connects. The word emes, the maral, and we're going to see that one of the people that will focus a lot in Machshava is the Maharal, because the Maharal is the one who bridges, I would say, the Sisrei Torah, which is Kabbalah, with the more superficial part of Torah. So he creates the bridge, which is called Remes, and the Maharal was one who did that in the Gadah. He said the word Emes is the word Al, the letter Aleph, the letter Mem, and the letter Taf. The Gemara read in Shabbos says, Merachach Kamili, is something that encompasses the whole Aleph Beit. And the truth is, because truth is something that you see consistency, that everything fits in. That is truth. That the more you know something, the more it becomes truth. It's experiential. Truth is something that grows on you, that creates consistency. In English, it's called consilience, when everything fits in. Consilience. Consilience is today one of the sciences of truth, which means that when you see that everything starts fitting in, that you see that the system is so true that everything fits in, and the more you learn, the more it becomes real to you. I'll tell you in a second again. So that's truth. You can only experience. In my humble experience, the easiest way to see this and to appreciate is through Machshava, to Sisrei Torah. Once you learn those concepts, you see that they will change your life. Because you read, you see, everything will start making sense. And the system that grows on you. Again, we're going to deviate a little bit, but I want to deal with this conversation. Copernicus, when he wrote The Revolutions, you know, he wrote a book called The Revolutions, and The Revolutions was challenging Ptolemy. Ptolemy was the one who believed that the system is, as we know, everything around is geocentric, right? Everything around the earth. And he came to be heliocentric. But the way how he did it is not proving anything. He said, because if you look at Ptolemy, right, at everything Almagest, he did the idea that the world is geocentric. So you found the problem here, and you found the problem there, and you find always ad hoc hypothesis. You find a terutz here and a terutz there. If you have a terutz here and a terutz there, you realize that you don't have something true. And that's why he says, I'm going to show you something which is called the heliocentric system. They're going to show and solve everything at once in what he calls elegance. Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac HaLevi, who was the Doris HaRishonim, when they came to him and they showed him the Neir HaShmoinim, Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a pirush on a terut, 80 terutzim on the kasher of Neir HaShmoinim. You know, the basis of kasher, why 7 days, not 8 days? He wrote 80 terutzim. So his response was, there's no kunz in writing 80 terutz into a kasha. The kunz is finding one terutz that ends with 80 kashas. Right? Because then you see that that is truth. You found the key. How did what? Copernicus said the exact same thing. Hopefully Machshova is this, that we have a system that ends with chumash, that gives you not a vort, but that gives you a key, how everything in halacha, in chumash, makes sense. And that is the concept of Sefer Torah. If you want, we could connect it to philosophy. I'm not sure if the Rambam is interested, but the one who did this connecting what's called Sefer Torah to philosophy was the Rambam. And if you want, I'll be happy to bring it to you, because I do have the Rambam's. The Rambam wrote written Hagos on the Moreh Nevuchim, because he wrote two Sforim on that, Kuret Reschatas and Teres Oila, connecting Kabbalah to philosophy. And I have Kisei written notes, so you'll be able to come and see. I'll bring it to you. I think it's a very cool thing to see how they connected it. So we could do that eventually. But the idea is to create that system. So this is the goal. The goal today is to go ahead, and I'm not sure if you guys want this goal, but my goal was to create, to teach you a system. Not to teach you a vort here and a vort there. That's all. And I saw the shul from Moshe Shapiro, and I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do. I want to give you a system to teach you what it means, what are the basic concepts, where do they come from, how they come, and then you see how the Chumash starts making sense, how Halacha starts making sense. I might give you a little taste today, and you'll see how things that appear to be so disjuncted, now they make a lot more sense, because it's all part of this great system, which is in the core of Torah. So that core is what we're trying to explore here, and that's what's called Machshava. Machshava, now, who invented the term Machshava? I have no idea, but was here written Machshava? So it's Machshava. Machshava is for people thinking, but this is a form of thinking. Okay, is that clear for everybody? Not sure if that's what you guys want. If anybody doesn't like, you could leave. I don't know. But it has to be somebody that talks to me, and to give shurim, and to... So that's why I want to make sure that we learn, and we're going to explore the things together. Okay? So today, we're going to explore in Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is the core of the Chumash, right? But we're going to start a system and learning one of the basic ideas in Chazal, in Sefer Torah, which the system is what's called the binary system, the dual system of creation. How Chazal understood that the Bria is built. And for this, I decided to go through it, through the Sefer HaTiferes, the Maral, in Sefer HaTiferes, Perek Lamed Aleph. So you have here a copy of the HaTiferes, Perek Lamed Aleph, and we'll see it together. I'm just going to skip it. The reason why I gave it to you is that you should, it's a very important Perek. Now, let's talk about the Maral. Who the Maral was, right? The Maral was, I'm sure everybody heard about the Maral, right? Besides the Golem. The Maral was this great Kabbalist, Bekubal, who lived in a very interesting time. He lived in the 16th century. 16th century in Shamayim was happening something amazing, right? This is the transitional point between the Rishonim and the Achronim. And this is the time where Kabbalah becomes the lingua franca of the world. Now, why is that the case? It's very interesting. And scholars will debate that one theory, because in the same way the Maral was working in Prague, there was somebody working in Eretz Yisrael. Who is the person working in Eretz Yisrael, more or less contemporaries of the Maral?
Dari.
Was Dari. Dari was in Tzfat, working on those inyonim, and those are Achroinim explaining the Zohar. and bringing the Zohar, which is the Midrashim of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, Dari reveals it in a different level altogether. The Maral takes these ideas and show how they are connected to the Gemara that we know. So he does that bridge. He shows that there is a seamless transition. And that's why the Maral is very, very unique. The Maral becomes the foundation of Hasidus. We know that the Baal HaTanya in Sefer HaTanya writes, Mipi Sforim V'Soferim. He wrote his Sefer based on Sforim V'Soferim. And the tradition is the Sforim V'Soferim are two people from Prague, the Maral and the Shlom.
And the what?
The Shlom. So those are the Shlom Kodesh. This is where the Baal HaTanya builds Hasidus on. Because Hasidus is taking Kabbalah, for sure Hasidus Chabad was taking Kabbalah into the masses. Because they saw that there was a permission to publicize it. So the one who does this is the Maral. And the Maral shows how these ideas are read in Chazal in the Gemara. In the Gemara and you see in Chumash. So we're going to use the Maral a lot. And Maral is a contemporary of the Ari, but we'll use the Kisvei Ari. But they are talking the same language. Everybody goes into the same ideas, the same concepts. They grow. Who is this Beis Medrash of this Machshava? The Maral, the Ramchal, and we will talk about each of the Gro, the Baal HaTanya, okay, the Sfas Emes, the Tzodek, all come from the same Beis Medrash. They're all learning, they're completely different, but they're exactly the same. Because they're saying, and this becomes, you should know something, this becomes Hasidus Chabad, becomes such an attraction to people because it shows the Emes of Torah and the depth of Torah. That actually almost took the people away from learning into Hasidus. And they counter tell me which.
Is Ratzadok the last person? In other words, would you say anybody's a contemporary today?
I think that who are the contemporaries? If you want to know, and let's just give you a picture of history. Today you have the contemporaries. You had the Leshem, the Baal HaLeshem of Rabbi Yosher's grandfather, who wrote one of the Sefer Kabbalah, which we're going to use, which are extremely... And you have Ramesh Shapir, you had Rav Utner. Rav Utner did a lot, and Rav Dessler was even before. We said it's a school. Now, there is, because Kabbalah, there is a Kabbalah which we know the Kabbalists, they come and they do this far, that they go kinds of hocus pocus. That's magical Kabbalah. We're not doing here magic. So we're not hocus pocus. If you're, I don't know any hocus pocus, so I can't help you with that.
Where's the Ashlag?
Ashlag is a very controversial Ashlag. Right, yes, because let me explain to you. We are going to learn those in your name like a yeshiva man learns, like you learn a sugya, because that's exactly it. With lomdus, with havona, with understanding, challenging with the history. Ashlag, which is the Baal HaSulam, it's his translation.
Huh? Who's that?
The Baal HaSulam, the Gzohar. Let's talk about something interesting. The problem is in 45 minutes, we're going to digress too much. The Zohar is written in Aramaic. Now, is this original Aramaic or not original Aramaic? Debatable. But it's written in Aramaic for a specific reason. And the reason is because the Kabbalists believed that they have to speak in Aramaic. Even though the Aramaic of the Zohar is not the real ever spoken Aramaic, meaning that's why when they looked at it, it's okay, 1 second, this Aramaic looks like 14th century Aramaic, not 2nd century Aramaic, right? It doesn't fit the language. But the Aramaic was a language, and was done for many reasons. If you want to go, we can go into it. Because they believed, I always have my Havana. You want to hear my Havana? If you know something interesting in history, every Kabbalah development was always controversial. There was always controversy. Who was the biggest Mekubal that was a huge controversy? His name was the Ramchal. Everybody knows the Ramchal. Horrendous things because he had a Malach, and people went and they attacked him and they went after him and etc. And the one who validated him afterwards was who?
The Gro.
The Gro was the one who validated Ramchal. But why? Why is that? The answer is very simple. And I'm going to tell you something very cool on this. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Malachim told us, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Shabbos, right? Tna, the Pasuk, Tna huitcha l'shamayim, told Hashem, give the Torah to Shamayim. Why should you give Torah to humans? Humans don't deserve Torah. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu answer? The halacha is applied to men. Lo tigzov, you have in Shamayim. Lo tirtzach, you have in Shamayim. You don't have. So halacha is applied to us. But that only relates to the halacha part. The Kabbalah part. There's no excuse. Why should we be private to it more than Malachim. Which means that on Kabbalah, the Malachim do have a taina on us. And if you see that, it's in the Pasuk says like this in Tehillim, Alita Lamarom. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Fim's Gemara in the Pasuk, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you went to Shamayim, Shavita Shevi, you captured something, Lakachta Matanot Ba'adam, and you acquired gifts for men, for mankind. So the Gemara says, who's the one who goes to Shamayim? Is Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Shamayim, and he gets the Torah from the Malachim. So the Beis Halevi already asks, the Pasuk doesn't make sense. Because lakachta in matanot is an oxymoron. Lakachta means you acquired, and matanot is a gift. Is Torah a gift or is it? He says no, because Torah has two components: Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh. Torah shebichsav is a matana. Torah shebalpeh is a lekicha. But that's the Beis Halevi. But I always ask the Beis Halevi. Look at the first part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk says shavita shevi. You captured.
What did you capture?
Mm-hmm. Kabbalah was captured. And I saw because the Megale Amukis, which is somebody very important, Machshav also, he's unbelievable. If you want to know, tell you the story about it. But the Megale Amukis says, Shevi is Berosh Tevis Shimon Ben Yochai. On that we captured, because that there was no excuse. We captured from the Malachim. Mm-hmm. So the Malachim always will have a taina and have a kitruk that humans don't deserve. So whenever there is a creativity, the Zohar is found. If you are interested in history, I collect books. I collect all this interesting stuff. I will bring to you the first mention it's a Sefer HaYuchsin, the original Sefer HaYuchsin, with the handwritten notes of the Yaivetz on the famous controversy of the Zohar. But when the Zohar was found, it was also a huge controversy. That maybe Moshe Dilon made it up. There's nothing in Kabbalah, there's nothing klar. There's nothing like that goes gleich, nothing straight. Because the Malachim don't let it. I think, again, that's why I don't tell Moshe Shapir, because Moshe, if you agree, that's why Kabbalah had to be written in Aramaic. That the Malachim should not understand
it. They don't know Aramaic.
Because they don't know Aramaic. So the Kabbalists thought that they don't want the Malachim to understand it. Because they realized that they got something that they shouldn't. Shavisa Shevi. The Balasum, now we're going to back to Ashlag. So Ashlag, the Balasulam, translated the Zohar into Hebrew. Every translation is by nature interpretation. And people debated on the interpretation. Beginning of the 20th century, end of the 19th century. Very debatable. Yes, Talmidim, and became very controversial. The Matok Midvash is Refresh, a big Mekubal. He translated it into Hebrew, and his translation is well accepted by the school of Mekubalim. But it's interesting because the Zohar goes into this process, right? This hidden Torah, hidden from the Malachim, it becomes translated. The translation of the Zohar. You realize the first translation of the Zohar to what language was it, people? So the Hebrew translation is very later, so the 19th century. As always,
Arabic?
No, into Latin. Because the Christians loved Kabbalah. Because in Kabbalah, you could find
mentions of
ideas which Christianity would adopt and change, because they are very deep in Yonim. Right? And we're going to go into this and show you. But this is the story of Kabbalah. So that's it. So Kabbalah has this thing. So we can't learn this. So what we learn is we learn something called Machshava. Machshava I always call something which is not Sod. Sod is Kabbalah, but is Remez, which is that bridge between Gemara and Kabbalah. And I always call, in my view, it's called the analytical Kabbalah. You learn, like you learn everything else, but that's something which, in my view, is Gevaldik. And that you'll see. And who are the people you'll see? You'll get to learn who is the canon of those people. Who we can rely on them. From the Balatanya, Svasemes, Tzodek, to contemporaries. But this school of people starts in the time of the Maral, which is 16th century. Why the 16th century? It's because it's the beginning of the Achronim. the beginning of the printing press, so okay, right after the Spanish expulsion, right? It's a big time of the Spanish expulsion. Because you know what's interesting about the Spanish expulsion? What is unique about the Spanish expulsion?
We just fired them all over.
In other words, what's new? We expel from everywhere. What's unique? It's because that's the last and final expulsion of the Jews from Western Europe, right? Europe was Judenrein after the expulsion. So it was a migration of the Jews. And not only that, Chosidyavitz, and that is something that goes into this, and that's my take. Again, this is my take of putting it all together. If you look at the Chosidyavitz, Chosidyavitz writes the reason, Chosidyavitz near Elvis, why so many Jews of Spain became Christian. We know that the Spanish Jewry became Christian. It's not like the Portuguese Jew. Mm-hmm. It's because they didn't have, if you read it, it's because of philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it was, in essence, a rebellion against philosophy. Because philosophy is very dry, is a rebellion against philosophy to something deeper. And that's why at the same time, so the Maharal,
they rebel
against philosophy. They realize the philosophy, that this cold philosophy can create a situation where Jews would not keep Torah. Chosidyavitz in office. There was a school.
So the Spanish Jews were into philosophy? Is
yes, into philosophy. All ever was. When all the philosophers, the big philosophers were there.
Chosidyavitz
brings, because if you know Jewish history, in Spain it was very, very tough. Because Jews did convert. Very different than Portugal, which this didn't convert.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You asked us what Machshava was. If I had to just leave right now and explain to someone what you just said Machshava was, I'm not too sure if I can explain it. And I'm not... No, I'm not
right,
I'm,
for
I'm,
sure.
So I like to understand simply. You would say Machshava is a bridge between Kabbalah and the Gemara.
That's it.
Again, I'm not too sure I understand what that means.
Oh, we are going to experience and learn it. We are going to learn it. We are going to see it. It's exactly this. It's bringing Kabbalah into Gemara, done by a few people. How the Maral brought it to life, the Gro brought it to life, the Ramchal brought it to life, the Ramo brought it to life, the Achronim, how they took it. Basically, that's exactly it. You're taking Kabbalah, which was a different part of Torah, into Gemara. How to connect this into the Agadata of the Shas, to explain how the Agadata of the Shas relates to that, how to explain Halacha, how to explain the Chumash, how to turn this into a language that we, as people who learn Gemara, can understand, but is something that is direct emanating from something called Kabbalah. That's it. That's what Gemara is. That is what I call it.
Was there any relation between Kabbalah and philosophy of Spain? I'm confused by that point.
So
you talk about philosophy.
So Kabbalah comes, the Kabbalah which comes by the Achronim. So these Achronim are bringing Kabbalah. Kabbalah once upon a time learned by very few people, by various schools. It is brought to the people, to the masses. When is it brought to the masses? In the 16th century. By these people. That's Machshava. They bring it to the masses. To the point that Hasidus makes it that every single word in Chumash is very Kabbalah. Did you understand or you might not understand? But that was brought in the 16th century. Why? As a...
Is it a reaction?
A reaction to the failure of philosophy. Mm-hmm. The one now, there were two schools in that. That's why I just want to confuse you. And it's good. So stop me if I'm confusing you. Because for me, without knowing the history, the historical background,
it's
very
good. But I wasn't sure if I can walk out of today's show.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right. And hopefully, the truth is, it will take time to explain. But there were two schools. There was one school who says that this is against philosophy. The one that says, no. Philosophy and Kabbalah are saying exactly the same thing. They're just looking at it from diverse angles, from different vantage points. The one who does that is the Rambam.
Aristotle, whatever.
Huh? Aristotelian. Yeah. He was very Aristotelian. Yeah. Now, and if you see, I'll bring in 2 weeks, because I'm coming on in 2 weeks. I'm bringing you the first print of the Moreh Nevuchim with the Rambam's handwritten notes connecting Kabbalah, showing how the Rambam, who never understood Kabbalah, what he says is in Kabbalah terms also truth. They're looking at the same thing from different vantage points. This is the Rama. But this is all, this is the world evolving away from philosophy into Kabbalah.
And Kabbalah, again, how it is Torah Shebaal Peh?
Yeah, Torah Shebaal Peh. Let me explain to you of Kabbalah. So we're diverging, but I think it's important. How is Kabbalah? What is Kabbalah? The tradition is, the Kabbalah, the word Kabbalah means tradition. Those are traditions given, we believe, the Torah Shebaal Peh. How Torah Shebaal Peh was Nimsar, how Torah Shebaal Peh was given. It was given, we know in the Gemara already, in the Gemara in Chagigah, that there is such a thing called Ma'aseh Bereishis, and there is such a thing called Ma'aseh Merkava. The Rambam will say the Ma'aseh Bereishis is something, Ma'aseh Merkava is something very Aristotelian scientific. The tradition is that those were Kabbalistic works. Those Kabbalistic works of Torah Shebaal Peh that were supposed to be kept secret. There were two schools in the time of the Tanoim who dealt with those Sisri Torah. Does anybody know who the two schools are? And it's so fascinating because it's Lishitosim and Kolashas. Who are the two great schools?
Akiva and Ishmael.
Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's, interestingly enough, Rabbi Akiva's Torah was Kabbalah, but that was hidden away because we didn't have anything of his. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Shmuel's Kabbalah was never hidden. What's Rabbi Shmuel's Kabbalistic work that we have from times immemorial? Anybody knows? I'm not quizzing, I just don't know. It's called the Echolus.
What is it called?
The Echolus. It's called the palaces, the divine palaces. You see, Rabbi Shmuel always goes up to the divine heaven, the palaces. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the story of the, what you call it, about the Asar al-Gimalchus, we say Ora Besiludin. Now, now I'm going to tell you. I don't want to digress you guys forever. I am of the school now, because the problem with Rabbi Shmuel is, you know, you're 100% right. Rabbi Shmuel, like everything else in the Gemara, and we're going to see why, there is always doubles. You realize that the Gemara makes this custom of making people having doubles. Jesus, you have two Jesus. One Jesus of Nazareth, who lives in Pontius Pilate, and then you have a Jesus which is Talmud of Shulam Prachia, 200 years earlier. Unculus Hager. Unculus, not two Unculus. There are always people, I always say that they take two living, and one of them is Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel, at sometimes, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol. The famous Gemara in Brochus, Pamachnas Nichnasti, I think Avraham Fried made it famous. Pamachnas Nichnasti Lifnai Viliflakdir Toilet Lifnai Vilifnim Veraisia Katrikel Kashem Tzvokis. So it has to be Kohen Gadol. Now Rabbi Shmuel, the contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, he was captured. He was a little child, right? When we say in the Slichas, he was a little child, the Gemara in Gittin says, by the time of the Churban. They came to him and they said, he says, so it's Rabbi Shmuel. So they say, okay, that's Rabbi Shmuel. One is a grandfather. But the problem is that who is the Harugi Malchus? You're going to tell me that Rabbi Shmuel can gobble? The Gemara says, the matter says, Rabbi Akiva, when he heard Rabbi Shmuel, so a Yotzal Hariga, he says, now we are next. I'm going to take you all the Shitas. If you want to go one day, we go, but the Shita, if any historian will tell you, is Rambam Bifano. They are the same person. Rabbi Shmuel is one Rabbi Shmuel. He's Rabbi Shmuel, contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. Like the Medrash says, he's the Harugi Malchus. He was a Kohen Gadol, but he was a Kohen Gadol in metaphysical sense. He went into Lifnai v'lifni v'raisi katrika. He wanted to Kodesh HaKodoshi. We see somebody sitting there. He went into Kodesh HaKodoshi in the Echolos. So the Echolos are his Kabbalistic ascensions. Those called the ascensions.
This is the safer that that's.
It's a sefer that there, if you want to see, I'll bring you to you, could see. This is a sefer, but this is called meditational Kabbalah. What it is, you go through meditation, and Rabbi Shmuel tells you that you go up, and you say the names, and you start thinking, and you're going to see the Malachim, because always the Malachim, and you have to negotiate to the Malachim to go up. They are called the ascensions of Rabbi Shmuel. So that's Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Then he went in virtual terms. That's why he was a Kohen Gadol. He goes up. This is the Sefer Kabbalah. interestingly enough, this Sefer Kabbalah, we had it. We had all the time Rabbi Shmuel's Kabbalah. But nobody used it because it's meditational, so you have to know how to... Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote a Pirush Shar Daled that was hidden because this is something that we don't do. The one who did it was Rabbi Kaplan. He was a big expert on the Echoles. Echoles is there.
I'm reading him right now.
So you're reading this Echoles. He goes, Echoles. He has a Pirush on the Echoles, the Bahir, all of them. And he was a Talmud, Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana. Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana is the one who had it. But we have his Sefer. And it's amazing stories and amazing things. If you want to go scholarly, if anybody's interested in materials, I'll be happy to share with you. Rabbi Akiva, on the other sense, that was the traditional Rabbi Akiva, that school. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was his big Talmud because all the Kabbalah of Rabbi Akiva is always mediated Kabbalah. Right? It never comes directly. Rabbi Akiva's story. And you'll see how this repeats. So Rabbi Akiva was doing a shtili tilim shel alochas from every kisrei shel yesiras, from the crowns of the letters. We have to stop from crowns. Yeah. What does that mean? It means Kabbalistic terms. But who was his Talmud that continued with that, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? And the tradition was there was stuff from him. We never knew, we never heard about it. And it was hidden. It was found later in the 13th century by somebody called Moshe de Lyon. And he comes out with a writing, with a manuscript. And he says, this is the Zohar, the long lost Zohar. Over Rabbi Shimon Chai, the Kabbalah of Rabbi Akiva. And it was a huge controversy. If you guys are interested, I'll bring you the original documents of the controversy. I have the original, you'll see something fascinating, the original controversy, because the Malachim won't let it. But this is the Zohar, so this is Turesh Balpeh. This is Turesh Balpeh in the two traditions. That tradition of Rebbe Kiva is not meditational, it's analytical, and is a Pirush on the Chumash. The Zohar is a Pirush on the Chumash. So it's a Pirush on the Chumash, and you go through the Chumash through it. But it's all mediated, and that's what Lara.
All the Balmei Machshava that you mentioned before agree that it's a second century document.
No. I'll tell you again. I have things that I discuss because I dealt with all the people who have the problems with it, and I dealt with the Kabbalah. You see, I have a thing, a very interesting approach, which I discuss with Rabbi Shlomo Fischer with a lot of people. And his mamish emes lamita shel Torah and Torah Shabbat was developed. But we'll get that. I don't want to diverse about it because if I have to go to Chumash, when I can. But this is it. This is Torah Shabbat Peh, the Kabbalah and the tradition. And we don't get from the Zohar because it's for us, we're very far from it. We get from the mediation. It's always mediated, right? The Kiva's story is mediated by Shabbat Yochai. The Ari, we don't know what Ari said either. How do you know what the Ari said from Chaim Vital? We only know from these people. We know from Chaim Vital. We know from the Maral, we know from the Gro, we know from the Ramchal. So whenever I tell you something, you've got to always ask me, where does it come from? Because you have to know the source. Because if the source is not reliable, it's extremely dangerous to reliable. So that's it. So this is Torah Shabbat Peh, and those are the traditions that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu. And once you know the system, you realize the Chazal are saying this all the time. All the Torah Shabbat Peh is built on this system. This is the core of the system of Torah Shabbat Peh. And you realize how everything fits in. The Chumash fits in. Halacha fits in. Science fits in. You see today, as science develops, all these ideas are coming back to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, whichever you have it. Now, you won't have Kabbalah. I mean, this is not the Kabbalah Center. Okay? This is not. But you're going to learn what the Kabbalah as it was mediated and explained. So what we're going to learn, to summarize, we're going to learn the thinkers which use Kabbalah to translate into Gemara terms into the Gemara. They bring it to the forefront. Heads of that school, who are we going to learn? Let's go with the time. We're going to see the Ramaral, somebody we're going to use very often. The Ramamifano. Ramamifano was the one who brought the Beis Yosef to print. That's Sora Mamores. We're going to learn the Megala Mukes. That is something that from that time. The Ramo in his forum, because the Ramo was, he died young, but he was a great Mekubal. But again, Kabbalah, which is in practical terms. Then we're going to see Dari. And Dari comes from what Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote, for, because Ari never wrote anything. For 18 months he taught, and he only said he could listen from one of his Talmidim. And then we're going to see from the Groh in Reb Chaim Voloshiner, from that school, from the Balatanya, and of the Chassidim. The Balatanya is somebody that we are going to use it very often. I think besides the Balatanya, we're going to use also the Sfasemes and Reb Tzodek. Those are the people who I know from my school of. And from the Ashkenazim, I told you, the Groh, Reb Chaim Voloshiner, Reb Yitzchok Isaac Chover, which is the Talmidim of the Groh that they came, the Leshem, and contemporary people are Reb Dessler, Reb Kook. Reb Kook was very much into it. All the Lubavitch Chassidim, the Ger Chassidim, are very much the school of Ger, the school of Kotzk, the school of Chabad, and the school of the Groh are very close schools. All the Chassidim is very hard to understand, but they are the same school. You see their core saying the same. And then the Moshe Shapiro, and maybe Avivi, and put everything together. So this is Machshava. So Machshava is the mediation of 20 of modern Achronim, of taking the Gemara, Kabbalah, into the Gemara, into the Chumash, and that's how we're going to learn. But the idea is to learn this. And now, again, if you don't want, I could tell you Vortim and Chumash, and you're going to see a Shurim, and that's possible. If you get the guys who want that, that's fine, but you're going to come out nothing. We're going to tell just Vortim. But if you know the system, you see how it developed and how it fits in, and hopefully you see something which is extremely consistency. Because if you know something, something which is MS has to be consistent. If something is not consistent, it's not MS. The degree of MS, and MS has to grow on you. If you find problems and you have to constantly find excuses in terutzim, it's not MS. And therefore, you have to have the system, but once you know the system, everything will fit in, everything will make sense. Questions?
Yeah, you seem to have defined Machshava. I'm still with you. I'm still not sure what you mean by Machshava. But you seem to have defined it historically. If it came after the 13th century, it was Machshava. If it came before the 13th century, it was philosophy.
The Machshava that we are going to learn
was philosophy because he didn't live in the 13th century.
No. I'm not coming to judge if it's better philosophy or Machshava. The Machshava that we're going to learn is exactly this. The meaning and the why. Okay? So Machshava is the meaning and the why. But what we're going to focus on, because Machshava, like everything else, is a label. And the label includes many schools. And we're going to focus on one specific school. The school of Machshava means the school of those Achronim of the 16th century, not 13th, 16th century, who bridged Kabbalah into Gemara in a way which is well understood, well explained, and something which is very, very real to us. That's what we're going to focus on. Now, is philosophy great? Yes, we can connect it to philosophy also, but doesn't talk to us. Because the philosophical terms become very difficult and very dry. For me, what makes me is something that becomes experiential, that can make life better. Philosophy is great and important, but different strokes for different folks. So the part of Machshava includes, the word Machshava doesn't exist. The word Machshava is thinking. So thinking is Machshavet Israel. I can tell you that anything is Machshava, nothing is Machshava. The Machshava that we're going to focus is very simple. Is something called Remez HaTorah, is those schools of thinkers. And these are the schools of thinkers that we are going to go, which are going to take Kabbalah into a term that we can understand and see how the Gemara and Kabbalah are linked and are one. And you'll see how the system works and how it gives you Havana. Now, you will only be able to understand it once we start learning it, which hopefully will be soon. But you'll see how this fits in. So it gives you the background how to fit it in. Yes?
In terms of a system and a structure and a key, how do you reconcile that with, we say, Shivim Panim LaTorah, right? I mean, even the first word in the Torah, Bereishis, is a machlokas, Rashi, Ramban. How do you interpret it? Was Noach a tzaddik? Was he not a tzaddik? Ambiguity throughout the Torah is, that's one of the...
And this is, by the way, Rabbi Yoshi Beer was used to rely on William James on this also. The beauty of Machshava and Kabbalah is to show you how the Shivim Panim LaTorah, it's always coming from the same core. If you only focus on the Shivim Panim, it becomes ambiguity, which is a nice word of chaos. One says this, one says that. Noach could be a tzaddik, could be not a tzaddik. But once you go into the core, and we're going to see they're saying exactly the same thing. The Shiv important in Batoira is 70 phases of the same thing. How they are connected and how they are expressing the same ideas. That is exactly what Machshava is all about. Machshava is all about to say that the Torah is not disjuncted. And I'm going to just mention to you before we go, William James. Yoshi Be'er was very bugging to William James. William James says the language of the esoteric, because you're going to learn something called the esoteric, the Pnimius HaTorah. The language of the esoteric is the language of one. If you go to every religion, in the core, when you go deeper and deeper, you see that everything is one. And I think that was makes Machshava so gewaldig, to realize that this Machloikas is really two sides of the same coin. They're looking at the same thing, but they are expressing it differently. It's forms of expression, not forms of reality. We're going to see like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel looks like there are two, but it's the same. One of them is in the physical sense, Rabbi Shmuel lived after the Churban. In the virtual sense, Rabbi Shmuel was a Kohen Gadol. He was able to enter with Nivel Lifnim.
Was there one Rabbi Shmuel or were there two?
One. But you see two different perspectives. No! He lived in two different lives in the same person. That's the beauty. Let's go and go. Can I tell you something?
Two different chronological
times. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. He lives in two different planes in the same chronology. And that's the mistake. We, as we have been students of Einstein, time is relative, right? If you live in the time and space, here, he was Rabbi Shmuel after the Churban. Rabbi Shmuel transcending with meditational capabilities. You read the Echolos. If you want to, we're going to. I will be happy to go with you. I can't explain the Echolos, but I can read you the Echolos. I think it's a must read the Echolos. So the Echolos says that you go and you start thinking about those names and saying mantras, and you transcend into a world where you are a Kohen Gadol.
He was after the Churban, so he couldn't be a Kohen Gadol, right?
No. Virtual Kohen Gadol. As if not, a virtual Kohen Gadol. You are a virtual Kohen Gadol. Sar Haponim. Right? And he tells you how to become a Kohen Gadol with the Chudi Banakana. People, this is something. When you daven, you go into a different plane. We have to realize that, and that's the beauty, but that's exactly it. What things appear to be very disjuncted, like you say in chronological times, you see that they are the same. And you see in Chazal how Jesus appears to be in two different chronological times, and they are not. Because Chazal is telling you something very deep here. And in terms today, the historians are saying this. Which is the same as the Zohar. The Zohar is found in the 13th century. The language is Aramaic. They never spoke in the 2nd century. The topography is the topography of Spain, of not the topography of Aristotle.
So
how is it? I'll explain to you, but you'll see that once you go into deeper sense, it makes sense. But by the way, all the scholars today who say this, because you're right, if you look at the chronological time, Gratz was the famous, but he's discredited. We realize that there's so much dimension, there's so much depth into it. The beauty of Machshava is to show the depth of Torah. And that's what we try to show. And in the core, if you don't come out realizing that it's all one, it's just expressing itself in different forms, you've missed the point. I think the goal is to show how everything is one. It's just expressing itself in different forms. But it's the same thing, telling you in different. And the two schools, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the two schools are saying the same thing. And by the way, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the two approaches to Kabbalah is leshitosam to every machloikis that you have, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If you want, I will show you every machloikis Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in Chas. It all stems from the same machloikis in the approach to Kabbalah because it's on the core, it's one. Rabbi Shmuel, and it's fascinating to see how they are consistent, Rabbi Shmuel, because the two schools are two schools. And the two schools are the works that they made, right? Rabbi Shmuel, not only made, Rabbi Shmuel made in Kabbalah the Echolos, and this Rabbi Akiva did the Zohar, right? But in Mishnah also they are very different. Because they will see, if you have to improve you, Mishnah is from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel's Beis Medrash didn't have a Mishnah. We know the Gemara calls it Mishnah Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel is Medrash Halacha. Right? Michal Zad Rabbi Shmuel. So it's different schools. So they have different approaches, but they all course on the same stem. Any questions? Anything? Have a good week. Think about it.